plumbers become super plumbers, installing a super quick water dispenser. Superquick.com.au.
No Lawrence Moonman Mooney today. He's a bit under the weather, indisposed. We
Mate,
hope he
even
is
Jesus
tomorrow.
Only took 3 days to get out of that cave. Now, fair dinkum, 5 day Easter holiday, not bad, is he?
Okay, you killed him. You went down to Melbourne where he's performing for the Comedy Festival. You took him out and he's not here.
All right. Now, in terms of if you were a policeman and you said, what do you know about this incident? I'd have to say, when I last saw him, he seemed to be okay. He hopped in the cab behind me. We went our way. He went his and we've never seen him since. Have you found a body? No, don't pin it on me. No prints. I had gloves on.
A sorely needed upgrade to the Bruce Highway. Our Peter Dutton, Minister for Home Affairs, will address that today.
What about Robin stealing my slave?
Yeah. Oh, now come on.
There's a lot of things wrong with that sentence.
in ancient times, that would be a whippable offence.
Oh, really?
If you stole my slave.
Me or the slave?
Like, I went to all the trouble of getting the slave, and then you just jumped in and gone, I'll have that one.
Yeah.
Now, get your own slave.
You breed them up, and then I treat them well.
Exactly. Very rare that a slave is incriminated as well, but that did happen
today. Oh, my God.
Poor Jack.
Slaves can't go.
Jack is our producer. Whatever. If you ring the show, you'll talk to lovely Jack. Make sure you remind him of all of that. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. See ya. Easter. Hey, how fun was that? Not. I spent pretty much half of it in the Sunshine Coast Hospital.
You've told me little parts of the story and that's the only bit. Okay. What has happened?
Okay, Saturday afternoon, I was out with some mates on one of those pontoon boats.
Oh, they're fun.
They're really fun.
What, in the Noosa River?
In the Noosa River.
Sound and stuff,
yeah. But it was all the adults. And I went up to Noosa with my children and my elder son, Finn, whose birthday was a couple of weeks ago, turned 18, and his beautiful girlfriend, Georgia. And she was staying with us. And so he was off. She's never been to Noosa, born and bred in Queensland, but never been to Noosa. So Finn was taking it upon himself to show her the sights and sounds of Noosa.
One.
And on Saturday afternoon, they decided to go to a place that pretty much every teenager who's ever been to Noosa has gone to, and that is the fairy ponds in the national park. Do you know where I'm talking about?
Not near the boiling pot.
Well, I don't know. Well,
so you walk in through the national park and there's a fair few things in there.
Yeah, but there's this one place that all the teenagers congregate and a lot of tourists and backpackers go. I've never been there, but most
there's
kids have got to know
about
it.
There's a big boiling hole where the water comes in like to a cave and you can jump in and you get washed out.
That's it. Well,
I call it the boiling pot.
Well,
no,
but then there's also some like rock pools around there. So it wasn't near the boiling pot, it was near the rock pools.
Righto.
So Finn went down and they were just having a look and everything was fine and Georgia was a little bit further up the rock faces and a rogue wave came and knocked him. Now, let me just say to you, if he'd been knocked out, he'd be dead.
Now,
he was knocked in
and
hit his face on a rock pool. I've got a phone call from her she's hysterical because A, she's tiny, and B, she couldn't get to him. So he was submerged in the rock pool. She is screaming. Two Spanish tourists saw what was going on and ran down.
So they're on the track up above.
They jumped into the rock pool.
And pulled him out.
And pulled him out. We now have a situation where there's no reception. They couldn't carry him out. And because it's a head wound, he is bleeding.
Don't
and
tell
he's
me they're
taken
get a chopper.
Off. The chopper tried to come through but couldn't land.
What?
So they got the surf lifesavers on a jet ski and they were amazing. And the surf lifesaving guy apparently said, I'm not a paramedic. I'm a surf lifesaver. I can do the basics. But he was able to, I think, get the ambulance and they managed to get him out onto a stretcher and then out to one ambulance and they ran him out of the national park. They joined a second ambulance and he was taken off to hospital.
Hold on, hold on. What did the jet ski dude do? He didn't put him on the mat on the back.
No, they couldn't. They couldn't get him.
So they
couldn't
get him.
They had to carry him out and then out.
Oh, God.
Now, if you think I'm just being dramatic, let me just say
I'm a rock fisherman. Do you know it's the most dangerous sport in Australia?
Now.
Only more people die lawn bowling than rock fishing, but that's because they have heart attacks. Yeah. rock fishing is, in an active way, the most dangerous sport in Australia in terms of death.
Well, I'll tell you that he has a fractured skull.
Oh, wow.
A fractured eye socket.
Yeah.
And brain bleed.
He's just been smashed.
He's been and he's got literally bark off him. the whole way down his body. So, look, the first 24 hours were the crucial ones because even though there were tiny brain bleeds,
was there blood coming out of his ears?
No.
Nose?
I now know all this stuff. No, they told us that if there's a clear... Now, how's this for frightening, right?
So
he's in
fluid.
Hospital, yeah, for 24 hours and they're discharging him because he is hell-bent on getting out of there. And they're saying to me, look, if there's this clear fluid that comes out of his nose or his ears...
Brain leaking.
It's spinal fluid.
Yeah, I heard it
and
one
that
day.
Is desperately dangerous.
A mate of mine one day got kicked in the head God. And he's sitting in the dressing room and he said, I said, how are you? This is before concussion was a thing. Mm. He'd just been kicked in the head and there was stuff, clear stuff. Like we're going, I thought blood came out and then the doctor had to go, oh, this isn't good.
It's serious.
Brain fluid or something or other they called it.
Anyway, he's okay. Jesus. He is absolutely off his chops on drugs.
Hillbilly heroin.
Do you know what? I was saying to his girlfriend that when I was in hospital for a foot infection and they put me on Endone for a month after I came home, online shopping was arriving that I had no recollection
That's exactly right.
So, you know, at the moment we're monitoring between going, have you got brain damage or are you just off your chops on drugs? But he's at home.
Well, oh, wow.
I'm truly glad that Finn's okay. But
Noosa is a great place, isn't it?
Quite honest, he's really stuffed your holiday there.
Well, you know, it hasn't been the best thing. And, of course, I don't even know who these two Spanish tourists are. Like, bless you. I mean, I'm sure you're not listening to Triple M.
No. But you... Hola.
Muy bien.
Hola.
Muy bien. Well done to you. Very good.
Yeah, but I will say that it has stuffed up my Easter break. And if you had such great,
what day was this on the Saturday?
On Saturday.
Oh, God.
Yeah, anyway, if something has happened to you on your first couple of days of holiday, you want to share your glory? Brad of Helensvale, what happened to you?
Well, I was just on the afternoon of my holiday and I got pushed over near a train and broke my humerus very low near the elbow and the radial nerve got hooked around the fracture.
Yeah.
And I was in hospital for 7 weeks, but they put me on a thing called ketamine.
Yeah.
And it was an infusion. It had to get mixed with some other material and the infusion, I think it was sodium. Anyway, so that ran out and the ketamine was running and a nurse came in and pressed the button for the alarm to go off and she forgot to stop the ketamine running. So I got straight ketamine and I saw, you know the Christmas bells you get, you hang on your tree?
Yes.
I saw the Christmas bells dancing across the top of my bed.
So we asked, how did you ruin your holiday? You're more telling us about the drugs.
No, the humerus was not so humorous that it wrecked my holiday.
Yes, but then we got onto drugs. Wonderful. Ketamine. Everyone's looking it up now, aren't they?
No,
yes.
No, they're not.
It's the reason they call
God,
it Special
K. God, that's wicked. did the train, can we just, is
sure
he still
can.
There?
Yeah.
Did a train hit you or you just fell on train tracks?
Long story short, a fella robbed me for $50 on my mobile phone. It was the last train back from a football game from Melbourne to Werribee.
Yeah.
And he snuck up behind me and grabbed my arm, and the last thing I saw was my hand, my left hand behind my right ear. I went down on my belly and just heard the crack, and it was my ear snapped.
Wow.
Oh, terrible.
Yeah. Are you okay now?
Yeah, I've got a 10-inch rod, 12 screws, and a huge scar up the back of my arm. But, yeah, I'm all right.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah,
that is a holiday rule.
Yeah. Just no fun one. At all.
It'd be shocking going through metal detectors too.
Ketamine, everyone write that down.
No. Mark of Logan Lee, what happened?
Sorry.
Oh, how are you going, guys? 1990, we went on a school excursion to Bali. Second day in.
Wait, stop. What school goes to Bali? Like, we went to Lone Pine one year, our school.
Well, we had a choice. We could go to the Snowies or we could go to Bali if we were economics or geography students.
Oh,
so I picked Bali.
Yeah.
I bet you did.
What happens next?
Well, second day in, we went to a lake where there were jet skis. Always a big dramas when jet skis are involved, especially young people full of testosterone.
Yeah.
And we sort of weren't looking and me and one of the girls were on the trip, crashed into each other and she ended up for the next 7 days hobbling around on crutches with a broken leg.
Holy Jesus.
They didn't send her home then.
No, they didn't send her home. The teachers were too busy trying to escape the people chasing money.
Oh, for the jet ski.
Jet ski.
Yeah, I bet. Hey, was that economics or geography, the Bali trip?
Both.
Yeah,
right.
I bet.
Geography and economics.
Wow, those
course,
mountains
makes
are
sense.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And how many, rupee goes? Yeah,
how many bintang singlets can I get for $10?
We're chasing the money at the end. Always learning.
Michelle of Kashmir, what happened on your holidays? It wasn't you, it was your hubby.
It was my husband, and it was this Easter, like you. We were doing favours for, or he was doing a favour for his mate who went to New Zealand, went over on Wednesday evening to find out what he had to do around the block, took some stairs, and one of the stairs collapsed. He fell, fractured 3 ribs, and bruised his lung, and I've been busy working all holidays doing his chores.
Oh, and they're so wicked, ribs too. They only hurt when you breathe.
Well, yes, and I'll be fine, I don't need to go to the hospital, but Good Friday he finally gave in and we went to the hospital.
Yeah, because breathing's kind of necessary.
Yeah, just a tad.
Tell him some jokes.
Oh, no,
I do. Yeah. Oh, he doesn't like to laugh.
Or sprinkle some pepper around him.
The sad thing is I'm going away next week with my mother and I'm thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to have to cancel my cruise. Oh, how could he do this to me? Because it was all about me.
Yes,
nothing
of course.
About him.
Exactly.
Fair enough, Michelle. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Big Breakfast, Triple M.
Anyone who comes in from the north side, well, I guess the deep north side, around Murrumba Downs or even further out, will appreciate what's going to happen today. There's a $150 million announcement going to be made about the exit and entry onto the Bruce Highway at Murrumba Downs. To tell us more, he's a local member out that way, Minister for Home Affairs, Peter Dutton. Hi, Peter.
Morning, Mato.
All right, mate. Can you tell us, I've got my Refidex out, as I want to do.
He's the only person that still has a Refidex.
Now, can you explain what's going to go on? You're throwing money at where it comes on at Dolly's Rocks Roads. We don't see it in peak hour, but it's a real problem out that way, hey?
It is just around that Pine Rivers Bridge area, but people living in, say, Griffin or Murrumba Downs, Kalanga, the growth through there has just been unbelievable.
Yep.
So at the moment, people have got a rat run if they want to go north on the Bruce Highway from Murrumba Downs up through Kalanga up to Anzac Ave, and then they jump on the freeway there. And similarly, if they're heading south, say, from the sunny coast or from Redcliffe Deception Bay back onto the freeway and need to come off at Murrumba Downs or Griffin, at the moment they've got to get off at the Anzac Avenue.
Change there. So it's a southbound exit and it's a northbound entry at Dolly's Rocks Road.
That's it, mate. So it's about $150 million worth, and I think it'll make a big difference to commute times for lots of those local residents. So we've been fighting for it for a long time, like Howth and I, and it's come through, so really good news.
So, Pete, I've just come back from Noosa of the Easter weekend. When is the Pine Forest going to go 4 lanes each side?
Well, there's a plan at the moment, Rob, having a look at the road from essentially Caboolture, where it narrows down, all the way up to Caloundra. So it's ridiculous that it's not 4 lane each way there now, and that's the next stage of development, I guess.
Peter, there was an election on within the next year or so. What do you say to people who say, oh, pork barrelling?
Well, as long as it delivers a new road for residents, I guess they're pretty happy. They can call it what they like, but
I just wanted to say pork. I just wanted to say pork barrel. I got it away.
What is pork barrelling?
Oh, it's when governments spend money in electorates that they want to win.
Is that right?
This is where the moon man had come in,
You're lucky. Malcolm Turnbull's not with us today.
Yeah, you're very lucky.
He's soft. He's not silly soft.
Oh, we've got that on tape.
He knew you were coming on and said, "Oh, I'm not going to confront Peter Dutton. He'll probably make me exit the nation."
That's it.
Are you going to the Com game?
Yeah, I am. I'm going to go to a bit of netball, I think, and maybe a bit of the sevens, I think.
Robin's dying to ask you a question about the Commonwealth Games.
I kind of am, because you are Minister for Home Affairs. So what happens if some of the nation's athletes then decide to stay?
Well, we get that at each Commonwealth and Olympic Games, so people will want to overstay, and you know, they might fall in love with a young lady or young man here. That could be a problem. They could decide that they want to seek refuge, and people can make claims. But like we do at the airports, if somebody turns up and declares that they want to seek protection, we have a look at their individual claim, and if they've got a claim to make, then we've got laws to abide by. But it'll be in a handful of cases. 99.5% of people will do the right thing.
If they're any good, like if they can run fast or throw something a long way, we'll want to keep them, won't we?
Yeah.
We
want the pick of the crop.
Even if they're a good batsman or, you know.
Yeah. Love your work, Peter.
Too soon, Peter Dutton.
No, not too soon.
Sorry, guys. Sorry.
Wonderful timing.
He's reached friend of the show status, Peter Dutton, Minister for Home Affairs. Thanks for your time.
Take care, guys. See you, bud.
Righto, Robin. This is something that I didn't want to bring up, but I'd like to because it's human trafficking.
okay.
Any listeners to the show will realise at the end of last year, a young guy called Jack, just say hello. Hello.
That's Jack.
Hello.
That's Jack.
Jack's who you talk to if you ring our program, 133353. Don't ring now because he's actually in here and he stands outside and takes your call, and then next thing you know, we talk to him. And that's Jack. And at end of last year, he was just training up. And
he was an intern for us.
He wasn't getting paid.
Mm.
So I had a bit of work to do at home, and Jack did some work for me.
And
you called him?
No, no, no. He was your slave.
Dodgy.
Dodgy.
Where did that come from? I'm running this thing. I'm running the trial here. It wasn't dodgy. I had a bit of painting to do. Uh-huh. Did a bit of concrete. Did I teach you how to concrete? It was a tough day, wasn't it, that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a tough day.
Taught me.
It was like 38 degrees that day.
You wouldn't let him inside.
He didn't.
Dodgy.
There was no work to be done inside. The work was outside work. He was drinking from the hose. He was weeing on the hedge, as most humans do. And you guys were up.
You were incriminating yourself.
Now, you weren't my slave.
Were you my slave?
Sorry, not with him.
That's a leading question, Jack.
Just say okay. Yes, Jack. It's okay. We'll support you.
I don't think I was a slave.
No, you got.
Although,
the tax part. You got. Well, there was.
I volunteered.
Yeah, let's leave it at that terms of cash payments, etc. There was that day where you drove me to a lunch I had to attend.
That and then, was slave-like. And then went and picked him up because he couldn't get home.
But he was still on an hourly rate.
Okay.
Now, and that's all finished because now Jack works with
us. Yeah,
and
he's now our producer and he answers our phones, and that's awesome.
No more slaving, correct?
Well, not correct.
Yeah, not correct. All right. See, now you're paid. There's no need. What happened on what's happened on the weekend while I wasn't looking?
I made Jack an offer because Jack has come and done some stuff at my place as well, and my kids actually think Jack is super cool. Mm. Anyway, we were going away to Noosa for the weekend, so I said to Jack, would you like to come and house sit and take and feed my dog, Rabo, like take him for a walk and feed him?
Yeah.
And there's a couple of odd jobs, which I'll pay you for. And he was like, what'd you say, Jack?
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, right. And I left him a slab of beer.
I don't think you talked to Jack. I think you talked to his former slave owner. I've still got him indentured as a slave.
Are you accusing me of stealing your slave?
You know, in the Middle East, they used to have marketplaces where I'd keep people in my cage and you'd have to come along and buy them.
Yeah. I wouldn't call yourself a slave owner.
Slave driver?
I let
can't
Jack
go stealing
in the house.
My slave. I let him off. He hasn't been slaving because he hasn't need to. Next thing you know, you've put him back into slavery.
But he's having a wonderful time at my place, although Jack.
Did you have a wonderful time?
Conditions are a lot better than yours place.
Did she really leave a slab of beer?
Well, yeah.
Slab of beer. I've got
Foxtel. Did she have Foxtel?
And Foxtel.
Can I just ask though, Jack, were you alone?
Oh, he said to me he was going to have heaps of mates over and watch the footy.
Well, I'm just going to say this.
Is that correct, former slave?
Did you find some evidence, Robert Bailey?
I may have. There were two towels.
Empties.
Two towels in the bathroom. Not one, but two.
Is that bad?
And there may or may not have been a scrunchie in the bed.
Oh, Jack, you dark horse.
Oh, that is a red face.
Oh, my God.
That is a red face on Jack.
Oh, dear, I didn't realise this is where it was going to go. I don't want to. Don't humiliate our slave.
For the first time ever on
You're saying his boyfriend has got long hair. Is that what you're saying?
I have no idea.
It's very rarely the slave gets this.
Dodgy.
Come on, mate.
You're better than this, Jack. Hey, just talking about Moon, he's not with us today. He's a bit crook. I had nothing to do with it. I went down to Melbourne. I had to call a game on Good Friday. So took Kath down there for Easter and my son Harry. And it was quite strange, Robin. Like, I don't stay up too late at any stages. We used to go out to dinner. What an amazing place Melbourne is. If it's sunny. If it wasn't for the crap weather, it is a bloody good place.
I know. If it didn't change every 5 minutes, it'd be fine. Well, but Moon's down there doing the Melbourne Comedy Festival.
So the big thing was, like, we went out with he and his wife on, they were both down there in Melbourne. We went out with them on Saturday night. And afterwards, we went, that's enough for us, 11:30 or something. Other Kath and I went home. My young bloke, Harry, he's 18, working as an apprentice carpenter. He's gone out. And he'd gone out the night before and actually went out all nights we were down there. I said, you don't know anyone? He said, I've met a fair few friends, going to bars and stuff.
Harry's lovely. He'll chat to
you. What my Harry does, and I realised, we finally had time to talk. We went to Bell's Beach. We watched Mick on the Saturday, Mick Fanning, and had a great day down there. Had a fair while in the car having a yarn. always a good time to have a yarn to your son while you're driving along. And I realised we were talking about where he'd been the night before, English backpackers, females.
What do you mean, English backpackers, females?
Well,
what is
remember
that?
I told you we just had the girl from Switzerland staying at our place, backpacker that he'd met in Hawaii. She drops in. He said, oh, there'll be other people dropping in over the next few months and stuff.
People he's met overseas, giving him a bed.
Seems to be mainly girls. But that's all right. I said, what about Australian girls?
What about Australian girls?
They ain't worth it.
What do you mean they're not worth it?
Because they're all into the Instagram and all the nonsense. They're all into so much nonsense. He said, Dad, the thing is I am so keen on backpackers because they're always happy, they're fairly carefree, and they don't want to drag him down.
Oh, okay.
He's 18.
So no. Let me just rework that. Yeah. I am here for a good time, not a long time, and I don't want any commitments.
When you're 18, when you're not looking for commitment, why would you be wanting commitments?
I guarantee you that Aussie girls are getting the same rap in America, in the UK.
Oh, they're over there having fun.
Absolutely.
No, I'll just put it to you, our young girls are so worried about their image and their Instagram. All they're worried about is what they look like, and they've got a vast emptiness to them.
So what are you saying?
Young
Aussie
girls
aren't worth it.
Aren't worth it.
That is definitely
young
one
Aussie
of these.
Aussie girls.
The Big Breakfast's can of worms.
Can you stop pulling that can open? I just wanted to make a statement. Don't make me justify anything. All right. No. Okay.
Get on the fence. You've now said it. Let's go. Marto claims Aussie girls aren't worth it.
Young
agree
ones.
Or disagree? No caveats yet.
No. Interesting statement to make with an Australian girl to your right. Are you married to an Australian woman?
Yeah, I seem to be.
It's just silly.
Checking. Tell me, is it better from overseas?
Marto is saying Aussie girls, women, aren't worth it.
Too uptight.
See what you think.
Outrageous statement from Greg Martin.
No, true.
Aussie girls aren't worth it.
Well, my son told me that. I wish I'd thought about it when I was young. When you're carefree and you're not looking for a partner, why try to grab hold of an Aussie girl? Because they're all up themselves, are worried about what they look like.
No.
They look down their nose at most blokes. Whereas my son has cottoned onto the fact that backpackers are just here to have fun and they love meeting locals, and he is having a great old time.
I bet he is. That does not mean that the entire population of Australian women should be thrown in the bin, but anyway.
Well, he said at this stage of his career, Aussie girls ain't worth it.
Okay. Kia of Wynnum?
Kaya, yeah.
Hello, Kaya, sorry.
Hello. I would just like to say, is it Marto? Marto?
Welcome aboard.
Thank you. I would just like to say, as a woman of Australia, I have never had Instagram and I never wish to.
I like you.
I am actually, that's so far away from who I am, and you couldn't have made a more of an overgeneralization than I think I've heard. In such a long time.
Oh, you haven't been listening long enough, Kia. I do this all the time, but this is my son.
It's Kaya.
Sorry, how old are you?
I'm 23.
Yeah, well, I got a young bloke, 18. Can you see his point, though?
I can see his point, but it's definitely an overgeneralization of a whole population of women.
Okay.
Yeah, he's just not meeting them, clearly.
Yeah.
I hope
he's going to the wrong places.
I hope you stay on board, Kaya, because you get a lot of overgeneralization on this show.
I might talk later in the show about the Indian Commonwealth Games team.
No, let's not. Thanks, Kaya. Thank you so much for calling. We really appreciate it.
Okay.
Welcome.
Okay. Well, I think that's generally accepted. I do say some ridiculous things, but this is coming from my son. Who's from his perspective, not from mine. I'm not saying it's for me. These Aussie girls do it for me, but not for
Has
these young
Catherine
blokes.
Yet? Just checking.
Don't want to.
Craig of Kangaroo Point, what do you think? Aussie girls aren't worth it.
Well, look, I can certainly understand Marto's son's perspective, but my experience is that it's not just the young girls that tend to be that way. I'm a middle-aged guy. I'm looking for a serious relationship, and I've tried all the meeting people, but I just find the women I meet are just too much trouble, hard work, and they have the attitude of, what can you do for me?
Hang on, what do you mean too much hard work? Like, they want stuff from you?
They're too much into themselves. And they when you meet them, they seem to have the attitude of, what can you bring
for me?
To the relationship? What can you do for me?
Hey, now, I've heard that before.
But these are the women that I meet. Obviously, there are many good women out there, and they're still married because they're good women. Maybe it's the ones.
Oh, no.
Maybe it's just the ones that.
No. Okay.
I'm with you.
I've got to defend all of my single friends. Where are you trying to meet people, Craig?
Oh, well, look, I have tried the meeting sites, websites, and now I've had coffees with lots and lots of different women. And, you know, generally there's nothing wrong with any of them physically. You know, the Aussie women are beautiful. But
yeah,
when you just dig a little bit deeper, it's I can understand why a lot of men these days are looking elsewhere.
I like it.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, there's a reason a lot of people are single because should be single.
I would say from a female perspective, particularly one over 40, they have been screwed around so much that they just are very wary.
Wary, okay.
Completely
wary. Well, wary can be mistaken for
arrogance.
Being too far into themselves. Yeah, you're right.
Okay, Gabrielle, what do you reckon?
Hi. No, I don't agree with that last gentleman. I think maybe he needs to work on himself. And what is he bringing to the table? Because it's a relationship, it's a partnership. So you're both bringing something. And I have three beautiful daughters and their river runs very deep, I'm sorry. And they've had trouble finding the right guy. So, you know, I'm really lucky that both of them now have someone really amazing. But, you know, everyone brings something to the table. And I think Aussie girls are beautiful. I'm sorry.
How old are
you? You don't have to apologise, Gabriella. I'm with you.
Strong. I think men feel intimidated. Power to the women. I have three beautiful adult daughters. They're in their 20s. And, yeah, I won't have it said that, Aussie girls are beautiful.
Maybe it's just my bloke's a bit young and he needs to grow up himself, which is true.
I do think that sometimes they have to realise what are they bringing to the relationship because, you know, everyone is a work in progress, aren't they? And if you can look at someone and think, well, you know, I'm not happy with what's going on with them. Sometimes it's a mirror and a reflection of yourself. So you need to go away and work on that.
You've been told.
I think I've had a loss to start the week. That's right.
Yeah.
I performed about as well as the Broncos this morning.
60% are saying Aussie women are worth it, Marto.
Yes, so. I know they are. I'm married to one of them. I've got a daughter who's
He's
one of
not
them.
Picked up his phone once in the last
I don't want to look at it.
Not for the next 24 hours.
But in the meantime, Harry Martin, get stuck into it, son.
Yeah, good on you.
Triple M. Oh, my
back in my day.
What else would we do but the Commonwealth Games? And what year was it on last in southeast Queensland?
1982. It was the coming of age of Brisbane.
That's 36 years ago. I know there will be a lot of people won't know anything about that era, but I just left school. I got a job working for the ABC. I sat in a van at Maruka Bowls Club. And every bowls, I thought it was a good way because I was just started university and they were looking for volunteers to work for ABC. And everyone said, oh, swimming. And no one got, only one person got that job, athletics. And I went, if I say bowls, I bet you I get the job. Bang. Didn't realise the bowls went for 10 days from about 7 in the morning till 7 every night. I was in a van at Maruka Bowls Club in the car park working for ABC.
Did you get paid?
Got paid. Wasn't just a volunteer. But the big thing I was after was the ticket to go to any event I could. But by the time I'd finished at Maruka Bowls Club every day in the van, every bowl that those old blokes from every Commonwealth nation they were playing bowls, I had to log it. So somewhere in the ABC archives, it's
Greg Martin's handwriting of some ancient
Nev Blair. Nev Blair, third bowl in the series. Oh, it was just horrendous. It was horrendous. But at night time, I went and watched some boxing. But the biggest thing I remember. Oh, well, we should go through it from the opening ceremony. Have we got any audio from the opening ceremony?
With the startling arrival of the game's mascot, Matilda, the model over 40 feet high and weighing over 6 tonnes. The eyes capable of not just a blink, but a wink.
Oh,
incredible.
Do you know where she is now? I can tell you where she
is
now.
Where did they end up doing with it?
She used to be at Wet n Wild at the entrance for ages and ages.
That's right.
Remember? And then she got moved. She was bought by Matinda Fuels service station and she's now south of Gympie and she's been there for a fair while. Hang on, at the Kaibong service station on the Bruce Highway.
Oh, a lot of the truckies would know it. It's the really big one this side of Gympie, right? And that's where Matilda is.
Yeah, she was brought there in pieces.
The eye still going?
Well, I think the eye's down.
a bit blinky. Is something wrong with it? What a weird thing. Hold on, here's more of the opening ceremony.
And there's the kookaburra to indicate that the ceremony is about to start. And you can hear the Kiwis first of all. We'll do that too.
Oh Norman May.
Anyone else slightly embarrassed?
Yes.
By
no, come on. Oh. It was of a time.
Listen to the voices. 36 years ago.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brisbane, the sunshine capital of Queensland, the sunshine state of Australia, welcomes you.
No, we know the Kookaburra is
Australia. So the Queensland, that lovely rounded.
What I did want to say, so I had the card. So I'm working in the van at the bowls at Maruka Bowls Club, all right? Yep. Just boring myself stupid. I watched a little bit of boxing on the way home at night times.
How exciting.
But then the big day was the day the box, the day after the bowls finished, Robert De Castella marathon. Now, I've spoken to you this about this before. So it went out. It went out past Brecky Creek, out along Kingston Smith Drive, brought back in through Eagers, went out to Toowong, and then he made his move on the two canyon blokes.
Coming down Akanga Coro
and
Drive.
Chahanga. I can remember, you know, the hills, you know, leaving the University of Queensland.
Yes.
There's a few hills.
Yes, there are.
Big Robert De Castella made his move there. And I've told you before about the diarrhea that kicked in around the Regatta Hotel. There would have been 5,000 people at the Regatta Hotel.
Oh, poor
and
Deke.
He had poo running around the back.
Oh, leave it alone.
Anyway, sorry. Deke, how did it sound?
Crowd cheering him on. Come on, De Castella. They're cheering and he's running. He's responding. Look at it. Yes, he's won it.
Go, Deke.
Yes, he's won it.
Yes, he crapped his dacks for that medal.
Okay, 133353. Back in my day, 1982 Commonwealth Games memories.
I tell you what, the party after the closing ceremony, there were so many relationships consummated. There are a lot of athletes got one.
It was a beautiful time.
How would you know?
Because I got a friend married a triple jumper from England.
Oh.
Of course.
From that night.
Of course you do.
133353, looking for your 82 Com Games memories.
Come on. Anyone old enough to remember anything from the Commonwealth Games in 82?
Ernie of Bribey Island. Hello.
Hey, good morning. How are we?
Good. You got memories of the Com Games?
Yeah, the Commonwealth Games special brew beer, Forex had.
Oh, my God. It was about 6%, wasn't it?
Yeah. After a few of them, you thought you'd run a marathon.
As in the way Robert Dick is telling.
In the boxing or something.
Oh, that was fair.
No, they were really good.
Weren't they really?
Many times on them.
That was amazing. Robin, they were the strongest beer Queensland's ever seen.
So what happened to them?
Oh, well, they all got drunk and everyone went home.
They were too dangerous.
They were dangerous.
Oh, fair enough.
Do you know, we didn't have gold in those days, did we, Ernie?
No, we're the good stuff.
No RBTs either.
No RBTs.
Especially at State of Origin, everything. At the back, we had the canned thing. And we had good beer then, but the gang special was the special brew, that one.
I know. Ernie, it's been lovely talking to you. I don't know how you got through. We wanted more talk about the games themselves.
Ernie's had a few 6%ers in his life, hasn't he?
Love it. Alan of Underwood, you got a Com Game 82 memory?
Yeah, it's not a great one, but sitting in the Eastern Grandstand when they let all the Doves go.
Yeah, and?
At the opening?
The Doves, the opening. The Doves have been caged for a long time, Rob. You can imagine what they did as soon as they got up in the air.
Robert De Castella.
Everybody was ducking for cover. I'll give you
They didn't show that on the telly, did they, Alan?
No, but we were wearing it, I tell you.
Alan, are you serious? You were sitting in the grandstand?
Correct. Oh, in the Eastern Grandstand.
Yeah, the melanoma stand. There was no roof on that one, was there?
No, it was at Kiwi 2.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Mount Gravatt.
Yeah, that's what I mean. There was no roof on it.
No.
Well, I helped build them out of their aluminium grandstands. Now, I built there for about 4 months one year, fell off and got compo. But you're sitting there. Are you telling me as soon as they went up, they just
Yeah, they emptied their stomachs, yeah.
Good Lord.
Over the crowd, so.
What a day.
Yeah, it was a day, all right.
Oh, how good are we?
Thank you, Alan. Dave. Hey, David Clayfield. Good.
Hold on, Dave. You haven't got much to follow. We've got pooing pigeons so far and strong beer are our best memories of the games. How about you?
Oh, yeah. I actually drove the truck that had the pigeons.
No. Oh.
It's your fault, Dave.
Not my fault. I just drove the pigeons to the stand.
Well, could be. Did you stop for a servo break? Yeah. Did you say anyone need to go to the loo?
Well, they've been in the back of the truck for about 2 days.
Oh, jeez.
Well, that's unsafe, Dave.
Workplace health and safety was not a thing for wildlife.
Dave, how many were there?
Oh, but it was 82, mate. I said,
yep.
No, we can't remember.
You can't remember. Yeah, but. Nah. But you heard our caller before said they were doves. Were they doves or were they just dirty pigeons?
No. And actually, where I released them was at South Bank, not kiwi too.
Okay. Job well done, yeah. Dave. You just painted some pigeons white and off they went.
Well, yeah, that's basically what happened, mate, yeah.
Yeah, that is exactly what happened. Well done, Dave. You're going to Hoppy's Hand Wash Cafe, Bowen Hills, Norman Park, Toowong. All the Gold Coast, $100 to spend there.
Finished?
No, yeah, we'll start making some more memories tomorrow.
You know how some games are called the friendly games or this game? Mm-hmm. We were just the dodgy games in 82.
Triple M. Nine Triple M's Big Breakfast Marto, Robin, and the Moon Man. The Moon Man away today. Do it all thanks to Super Quick Made right here in Brisbane. Super Plumbers install Super Quick dispensers, boiling chilled water whenever you want it, Marto.
Oh, yeah. Hey, listen, can I just run down through something? I think we're all disappointed by what happened to the Broncos on the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And somebody needs to apologise because I watched the press conference. No one there seemed to be. There were a lot of blaming and things like that. And we all know there's a bloke on a lot of time on his hands called Dave Warner. He's good at apologies. He's got a lot of spare time. And he's decided to put his hand up and say sorry on behalf of all Broncos fans. Take it away, Dave.
Fans and the lovers of the game, I want to sincerely apologise.
For letting Ash Taylor go.
I've let you down badly.
For letting Jared Wallace go.
And possibly earning your respect again.
For hanging on to Sam Thaiday. For letting Copley go.
I apologise.
For letting Ben Hunt go.
And I take full responsibility.
For Sam Thaiday. I've already apologised for that.
I apologise for my actions.
For not picking Phil Sammy up from Ipswich.
I apologise unreservedly.
For Wayne leaving his wife.
And I'm sorry.
For recruiting and paying Jackson Bird $750,000 a year.
I apologise for my actions.
For no one being able to put Conrad Hurrell on the ground.
And I'm sorry for the impact.
For allowing Ryan James, a front rower, to grub a kick through for a try.
I can honestly say I'm sorry.
Plumbers become super plumbers, installing a super quick water dispenser. Superquick.com.au.